Hello once again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're going to have a great broadcast today because what we're going to talk about is not coming from CNN or MSNBC. It's not coming from Newsweek or Time Magazine. It's coming from the Word of God. Hallelujah. And in a day when we need encouragement desperately in order to look to the future with hope in our hearts, the great place that I have found for encouragement, even in troubled times and dark days, is the Word of the Living God. Oh, how He loves you and me today, and what a wonderful plan that He has for our life. We're so glad to be with you once again today, and we say to all of you in Madison, we're glad to be back with you right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station, and we would love to be a part of your devotional life, considered your ministry in Madison. The Lord has opened this door in Madison for us to be on the air here. We're so happy to be with you today. I hope to get up to North Florida when I can devote more time to traveling around a bit and greet some of the folks at the radio station and some of the listeners in the Madison area. To the ministries in Madison, we're so glad that you are being faithful to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a hopeful message we have for people living in such hurtful times. Amen. We encourage you. We stand in link and league with you to see God's will and purposes accomplished in the 21st century. Amen. So we're very grateful to the Lord and to the listeners today. And those of you listening by computer in other states, we know there's a listener in Jacksonville. Dear lady in Jacksonville, we're so glad that you have returned to listen. If you're back with us today and in West Virginia. And for those of you listening in other countries around the world, we are so glad that as this station streams by computer that you have tuned in. So if you know anyone that you feel this broadcast and this station would be a blessing to, that would like to discover this little station in North Florida, WMAF, just type in WMAF, tell them to type in WMAF home. It will take them to the home page up in the right hand corner. They can click where and hear the format of WMAF streaming 24/7, and that includes this broadcast and other fine ministries and great music. It's just a family friendly station, hard to find these days, and it's a nostalgic station. If you like Southern gospel and old fashioned quartet singing, and you like country music like it once was back in the Ryman Auditorium before it got fancy, you will enjoy this station very, very much. Amen. So we're very, very excited about our message today, because we're going to talk about something that sounds like a contradiction in terms: the wonderful wounds of Jesus. Amen. And it's out of Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 1 through 5, if you want to follow along in your Bible. Many Bible scholars have called, and rightfully so, Isaiah 53, the entire chapter, the gospel in the Old Testament, because it's talking about someone dying a horrifying, tortured death in a way that wasn't even introduced at that time to the Jewish culture. This is about a crucifixion. There's no mistaking what this scripture is referring to, this portion of scripture in the book of Isaiah, and there is no mistaking who it is referring to. Isaiah 53 is about a suffering servant. It's about a king that would come and bleed and die for us. It's about a God who would condescend to come down to us and become a Lamb of God, become a sacrifice lamb so that we could be saved. Friend of mine, I want you to know we serve a God today who loves you and I so very, very deeply. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you haven't changed the channel yet, I pray that you will stay tuned for the next 20-something minutes as we speak to you about the wonderful wounds of Christ. I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind of God's feeling toward you. He loves you. Though you have sinned and I have sinned, He loves us. And John 3:16 was one of the first Sunday school scriptures that most kids ever learn. It's one of the most powerful, pertinent, potent scriptures in all of the Bible. Amen. Because it says, "For God so loved the world, yes, this fallen world and everyone in it, with all of our sins and hate and rebellion and avarice, He loved this fallen world enough to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have eternal life." And that giving of His Son, that sending of Jesus to this earth to become a sacrifice on the cross that we might be saved is an expression of love beyond, really beyond words. I'm going to try to describe that to you today. But this is a love that goes beyond the ability of anyone to adequately describe. But suffice it to say, He loved us enough to be tortured and to die, amen, in our place on the cross. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, speaking down through time to where Jesus would die on the cross. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Someone said, "I asked Jesus how much He loved me, and He said this much, and He stretched out His arms and died for me." Jesus didn't just die for us, He suffered and died for us. He took our place, He took our punishment. He became our substitute and our sacrifice lamb. Amen. And today we vividly see this suffering servant portrayed in Isaiah 53. C.S. Lewis wrote, "When Christ died, He didn't die for societies or states, not for the impersonal masses of humanity, not even for men and women, but for each man and each woman." He continued to say, "If we alone were the only created being, He would have done no less." I have repeated that not just exactly in those words, but I have told so many people that feel so dejected, rejected, and so insignificant that same thing. If you were the only person, and I want to tell you today, if you were the only person that needed saving, everyone was perfectly righteous but you, and you couldn't make it to heaven, you couldn't stand before a holy God without sin, Jesus would have come. Jesus would have found a way to suffer and die. He would have found a way to become your substitute so that you could be saved. Yes, He loves you that much. In verse 5, Isaiah uses a series of emphatic personal pronouns in the plural. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. One Bible scholar, Kyle, said there were no stronger expressions to be found in the language to denote a violent and painful death. The wonderful wounds of Christ reveal God's great love for us, the wonderful love of God. Christ's suffering and death on the cross reveals in the strongest terms just how much God loved you and me, and to what extent He was willing to go to seek and to save us. Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." I'm going to stop here and tell you, we've all sinned, the Scripture said, and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, the Scripture declares, no, not one. Every one of us need forgiveness. Every one of us need Jesus as our Savior. There is none that stand in our own righteousness before a holy God, unblameable. Jesus died for all of us who have sinned. He died, therefore, for the ungodly. If you are the black sheep of your family and you have made some terrible choices in life that has brought a reproach upon your name and your character, and you wish you could go back and do life over, but you cannot, and you have to live with the consequences of your sin like we all do, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, and that what Christ was doing on that cross is making a way for that slate to be wiped clean. You can't go back and relive your life, but you can have a new life in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, that means there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. Jesus did something that satisfied God's judicial demands. Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. You see, justice was served. He took our punishment. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Not just physical healing. We were healed because the body is going to die anyway, but we were healed within. Sin's deadly wound was healed when you received Jesus as your Savior, and that's what He was doing as He hung on that cross. Verse 7 says, "For scarcely will a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I like the Amplified. I want to just bring this whole Scripture out and want you to get it today. Listen to the Amplified of this interpretation of this Scripture. "While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for or in behalf of the ungodly." Now, it's an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, some might even dare to die. But God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. You see, God doesn't just talk love. God doesn't just give you a Scripture and say, just accept it by faith. God gives you His own Son, and Jesus lays down His life. The supreme act of love is the laying down of one's life. Jesus said, "Greater love than this hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends." Amen. And that is so that we would understand and comprehend that there is an occasion where love is expressed to the very highest and peak and pinnacle of it, and that is that we would be willing to die for someone else. And God took it beyond that because He didn't just die for those who He called His friends upon this earth, but for those who by our very sin nature were enemies of God. There was enmity between us, and yet His love was so strong for you and for me that He would send His Son and that Jesus would suffer and die on the cross. What a portrait of the true meaning of grace. That's Christ dying for the ungodly. The Holy Messiah dying for sinful men. Talk about unmerited favor, grace, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Why did He do it? To demonstrate the power of God's great love for us, for you, and for me. When we had no strength, no merit, nothing but offenses to God, He loved us enough to punish His Son in our place. And Jesus loved us enough to take our place on the cross. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Praise the Lord. No wonder the songwriter saw grace as such an amazing, amazing thing that he would pen the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once bound, but now can, once blind, but now can see." Amazing grace. Absolutely amazing love. The Bible calls it here great love, wherewith He loved us. The gospel, the good news of God's love for fallen man, is still changing lives in the 21st century. I want you to hear a testimony today. Amen. Grace is transforming lives. Amen. Listen to a testimony from a star child that God turned into His child. This young lady said, after years in radical feminism, Wicca, Hare Krishna, leftist politics and affairs with married professors, "I bought into New Ageism and then finally began following an Indian guru and converted to Hinduism. I wore a sari, put a red bindi spot on my head, chanted in Sanskrit, and lived in an ashram. I nearly killed myself thinking that I was a star child with infinite human potential and the power to create my own reality." And she said in big block letters, "What a crock. The greatest day of my life came when I discovered that I, like everyone else, was a hopeless sinner, unable to do the simplest things to save myself. But God loved me just as I was, and Jesus was the prescription. Jesus was the cure. I ask Him into my life, and I ask you to do the same." Hallelujah. Her name was Kathleen. There's two Kathleens today in our list of testimonies. Another Kathleen, Kathleen Jones, in prison on drug charges. A woman who never knew love and who loathed herself and wanted to die, writes, "On September 23rd, 1999, I was arrested again. Once again in the system, just like all other times, or so I thought. Little did I know this was a divine appointment I was here for, such a time as this." That's taken from Esther 4, verse 16. I can tell she's reading her Bible. She said, "The last thing I ever imagined was an encounter with the author of love Himself. On November 16th, God spoke to me through a young lady who came to minister to us through the jail ministry. She took my face in her hands, looked me in the eyes, and said 5 words to me. She said, 'Jesus loves you so much.' At that moment, I don't know why, but I believed what I had just heard. I believed in the love of Jesus. Then she placed her hands on my head and prayed for me. Then she gently whispered in my ear, 'Kathleen, you are delivered.' And at that moment, the empty feeling in the middle of my chest was suddenly filled with the love of God. God had given me a new heart full of love for Him. I haven't been the same since that moment. After reading the book of Hosea, the love of God that had had for me became real. I'm being transformed day by day. It doesn't matter that I'm still here in prison. I am free. You know, when I ministered in the prison ministry here in Tampa, or the jail ministry here in Tampa, the assistant warden used to attend our church in downtown Tampa for many years. And he just gave me kind of a carte blanche. He gave me an opportunity to go and hold a Bible study at my own discretion. They broke the cell blocks. I have a holding cell down at the end where I was able to hold a Bible study, and the men who wanted to come came. I think some people came honestly just to stretch their legs. Two men that had a grudge came to fight. And while I was praying before we began our Bible study, a terrible fight broke out. They had to come and mop blood up off the floor when the guards finally came down to that holding cell. And we had, at the end of that service, with just 10 minutes left, after all of this distraction, 30 out of 32 people raised their hands to receive Christ as their Savior. And listen, folks, I want to tell you, I understand some people may be skeptical. There are jailhouse conversions, that is, people that will get saved as many times as necessary if it will help them get out of jail. No, that's true. And there may be some of those hands were those kind of shallow, uncommitted, not real conversions. But I want you to know, it's worth it all for the ones who really receive Jesus. I had a kind of a deal with God when I ministered in the prison ministry, and that was, Lord, we'll catch them, you clean them. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'll tell you, one particular man, when I began that Bible study, he was on his way to Rayford he was here for an arraignment and then to go to Rayford to serve his time. I remember his cold gray eyes. Actually, I was brand new in ministry. I was a young man at that time when I began that years ago. And I really didn't like the feeling I got when I looked in his eyes. But I did feel God's great love for him. He came to me the last day that he was going to be here in Tampa before being transported to Rayford to begin his sentence. He came to me to receive a Bible. I gave him the Bible. He was one of those 30 that raised his hands, and probably one of those 30 that I would have my doubts about. But he asked me to sign his Bible, and I signed it, and I looked up, and when I caught his eye and he caught mine eye to eye, oh, wow, I saw the change. I saw the change in his countenance. I knew there was a change in his heart and in his life. He reached forth his hand and he took my hand, and while grasping my hand, he looked me in the eye again. And he said, Preacher, I want to thank you for coming here and sharing Christ with us. He said, I am going to Rayford to spend the rest of my life in prison. I have been given life without parole. But he squeezed my hand and looked me straight in the eye and said, But preacher, for the first time in my life, I am a free man. Hallelujah. That's not just getting religion to get out of jail so it'll look better on your appeal for probation. This man had no hope of ever getting out of prison, but he had the precious hope of being set free from his sin and the guilt and the shame and the pain and the punishment that would come of being lost. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That's what made all of the effort worth it, is those people who Jesus changed and set free. Listen, friend, Jesus can change you and set you free today. He can give you eternal life. He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. See, the mistaken idea is that I'm gonna change a whole lot of things and then come to God. Well, the fact is, we're without strength to change all those things that need to be addressed. But we can come to the one who died for us when we were yet without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. I want to read one more scripture today out of 1 Peter chapter 1, 18, 19, and 20. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times." Listen to this, friend, for you. He came into this world to go to the cross and to die for you. And He did it for me. Even if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for years, and you're listening to this broadcast today and say, "Oh, I know I'm saved, and I know Jesus died on the cross for me, and that's just old stuff." No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We need, amen, to get up every morning as if Jesus just died for us yesterday, and He was coming for us tomorrow. We need to live in the present reality of that kind of great, powerful, gracious love, and we need to live in the expectancy of His soon coming. Amen. I'm excited today. Amen. I got saved, really saved, at 21. Amen. Here I am, 62, and I am so excited to be saved today. To know my sins are forgiven, to know that if Jesus comes tomorrow, or if I take my last breath tomorrow, I'm going to be in the presence of God and my loved ones forever. Hallelujah. I love what one translation said. "He paid your ransom with Christ's sacred blood." The price paid for you at the cross gives you value and determines your worth. Most of us are not like the egotist, who of whom it is said, "I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth." You probably all heard about the big Texan that was always a braggart, and they were concerned at the funeral home. He was such a huge man, in both in height and girth, that they didn't know if they had a casket on hand big enough to hold him. Someone who knew him said, "Oh, don't worry about that. We can let all the hot air out of him and bury him in a shoebox." Most of us are not like that. Most of us struggle with a negative self-image. At the cross, looking up at that grotesque figure, hanging there in agony, paying your ransom, you, my friend, are worth more than many sparrows. That's how much God values you. That's how far He was willing to go to save you and to save me. Oh, I am so happy today to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am so glad today to declare unto you that He loves you so very, very much. And I want to talk to you on a very personal level right now. After having heard the gospel in the Old Testament, just how much that God loves you, would you open your heart today? Would you let this be the day that all that He did on the cross, everything that He did to save you, became a personal reality in your own heart, in your own life today? Would you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Oh, what a wonderful God that we serve. What a wonderful Savior He is. Oh, I just thank God so very much for what He has done for me, and what He will do for you in Jesus Christ today. And if you're a Christian today, and you have lost touch with the first love, and you want to get it back in your heart again, you know all you have to do, the Bible said in Revelation, just do your first works. Remember from whence you're fallen, repent and do your first works. That all began at the foot of the cross. where you begin to appreciate and appropriate what Jesus did for you when He died for you on Calvary. Oh, we love you today. I hope you come back next week. I love to lift up Jesus. I love to share testimonies and my own personal testimony. And I love to invite people to come to know my great Redeemer and friend, Jesus Christ. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.